All right, good evening everyone. Can you please give a high five to the person seated right beside you for a while and tell that person, I am so glad, finally I am here this afternoon. All right. Come on, just give them some warm smiles for a while, come on. This afternoon, we are starting a brand new series called All and Nothing. And I'm really thrilled with this series. If you're gonna work on this series in your social media accounts, don't forget it's hashtag All and Nothing, okay? We're excited for a word here this afternoon, come on. What's interesting with this series is we are actually going to do a book study on the book of Colossians, all right? So if you might want to do your devotions on the book of Colossians in the next coming weeks, it would be great because you'll get to understand, you know, the things that we're talking about here. Okay, we're starting this series today, and this will run for 7 long weeks. And the reason why we're calling this All and Nothing is because of the striking theme of the book of Colossians. Okay? Who am I here? You've already read the book of Colossians. Can I see your hand for a while? Okay? For some of you here, you're still new to the faith, so you haven't read the book of Colossians yet. Now, the striking theme of the book of Colossians is basically this one. It is what? It talks about the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So as we start this series, let me now unpack this to everyone. The 4 chapters of the book of Colossians talks about the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can everybody say preeminence? All right. I know why some of you aren't responding is because you don't know what preeminence means. All right. Preeminence simply means all surpassing or superior. That is what preeminence means. So that is basically the theme of the book of Colossians. So let me submit this to everyone here as we get this rolling. I want us to understand and embrace this. The Jesus that we worship is not just prominent, He is preeminent. Are you folks catching that? Meaning to say, we come before the presence of God understanding that Jesus is not just famous, but He is preeminent. Meaning to say, He is superior over every single thing. What I attempt to accomplish here this afternoon is very simple. Okay, I don't want to take long on this one. Let me just show you a table. I don't normally do this. But this is where we are going to journey everyone. All right? This is what's going to happen in the next coming weeks. Now, look up here for a while. Look at this one. There's just no way for you to miss a single Sunday. Okay, in this series called All and Nothing. Why? Like what I told you, this is a book study. So meaning to say, the things that you learn today will build up to next week. All right? And then the things that we're going to talk about next week will build up to the next week. So it's like a building block. So this afternoon, it's very simple. I'm just going to give us an introduction to the book of Colossians. Okay? What are we attempting to accomplish here this afternoon? Very simple. Number one, we're going to look into the city of Colossae. All right, the city of Colossae. I'll try to make us understand what the city is like, how vibrant the city is. Another thing is this one. This afternoon, we're also going to look at the church in Colossae. Okay, as much as there is a church in Dumaguete, like Victory Dumaguete, there was once a church in the city of Colossae. And the third thing that we're going to look at here is we're going to answer the reason as to why Paul wrote a letter to the church in Colossae. All right? Now, you know, having an understanding of all of these things, we need this as our baon for next week. Okay? Guess what? You don't want to miss next week's preaching because Pastor Richie Lianto, okay, of Victory CDO will be here. He's going to minister to us like what I told you. The guy is just so brilliant. I love listening to the man. And he's going to be blessing us with his presence. Parang si Jesus lang, no? He's going to bless us with the preaching of the word, okay, next Sunday. Okay? So I have to be a little careful with that one, okay? Now, he's going to bless us next week, Pastor Rich Lianto. He's going to talk about the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's going to be exciting. Then a week after that, for 2 straight weeks, we're going to look into what Jesus did for us. Who among you can honestly say that as a Christian, whether you are a 5-year-old Christian, 10-year-old Christian, or 20-year-old Christian, will never graduate from the gospel? In fact, the longer you walk in this faith, the deeper you understand that you need the gospel in your life, day by day. We cannot be a group of people who will be living a gospel-deficient life. That's why it's always good for us to revisit the gospel every now and then. And after which, after having a full understanding of the gospel for 2 long weeks, we're going to look at how we should live our lives or how we could make our lives count for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you, if you ask me honestly, even if I'm the one preaching this, this series really excites me. Like as much as the 10 perfect law, perfect love, it has been a blessing to us. I believe we're going to learn a lot of things from this one. Okay? Now, let me get it started. I want to unpack this for everyone by looking at the city of Colossae. All right? Now, for us to understand the city of Colossae, let me just show this map right here. Okay? Can everybody see the map? But if you would look at this place right here, going here, in the ancient world, this is actually called the Asia Minor. All right? This place here going to your right. Now, Asia Minor, just for us to understand this, in our current setting, is actually the modern-day Turkey. So whenever the Bible mentions Asia Minor, I want you to have Turkey in mind. Now, if you would observe, some of the cities that belonged in Asia Minor are actually Colossae, Ephesus, Troas, Tarsus, all of these places. Okay? But I want us to zoom in. If you look at the screen, I want us to zoom in and just look at the city of Ephesus. Okay? To your left. Can you guys see that? All right? That's Ephesus right there. Now, what is one striking theme that we would learn just by looking at the map about the city of Ephesus? You would observe that the city of Ephesus is a port city. Hey, folks, catch that? When I say port city, it's something like what? It's something like Dumaguete. All right? You walk out from this building, you walk 2 minutes, you're already at the port. So Ephesus was a very important place because it was a port city. Catch it? All right, now, if you go inland further from Ephesus, if you look at the regions inside Ephesus, you would see that there are different regions that are present there. And one of those places is actually the city of Colossae. All right? Now, the difference between Colossae and Ephesus is, Ephesus is a port city, Colossae is an inland city, just like the municipality of Valencia. Or the municipality of Pamplona. Okay? I think you guys can spell the difference, right? It's like Baez and Pamplona or Dumaguete and Valencia. Are we clear so far? If you look at this region right here, it gives us a picture of 3 cities. Namely, the city of Colossae, the city of Hierapolis, and Laodicea. Some of you, you're familiar with Laodicea because this is one of the churches in the book of Revelation. Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. Now, the good thing about these 3 cities is that they're like partner cities. We're not talking about geography, just geography here. There's a good reason why we need to understand this, okay? These are partner cities. Some of them are like twin cities, just like Dipolog and Dapitan. Now, these 3 cities are very, very important. In fact, at a certain point in their history, all these 3 cities were very prosperous. In fact, it is in this region where the coinage system started. All right? That's how prosperous the place is. They were the first ones to use coins. Now, how do we explain this further? Just hold on for a while, okay? I have here another picture. This picture is called an estuary. In Cebuano, what do you call an estuary? Ba-ba sa suba. Kuha niya. Ayan lang pala eh. An estuary is a place or a converging point of the fresh water and the saline water. Here's what I want us to understand. If you would go into an estuary, it's actually very, very unique. The sediment is unique. It's different. Okay, it could be pebbles or mud or something. The kinds of species that will survive in an estuary might not survive in fresh water or in salty water. It's just so unique. The sediment is just so unique. Why? Because this is a place where the fresh water meets the sea. So that's why everything in an estuary is actually very, very different. Okay? Now, why am I sharing this? Whenever you have Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea in mind, I want us to understand that these places are like an estuary. I'm not saying that you can find an estuary there. I'm just saying that they are like an estuary. In what sense? It is like an estuary simply because in this region, this is where the east and the west actually converge. All right? That's the meeting point of the west and the east. So just imagine the culture of that place. For example, right after Santa Catalina is the city of Bayawan. If you go to the city of Bayawan, they are Cebuano-speaking people, right? If you go further, if you drive further, you arrive at the municipality of Basay. Now, if you go to Basay, there are people who are Cebuano-speaking, and there are also people who are Ilonggo-speaking. All right? They converge in that place. So the culture is a little tricky. The culture is a little different. And that is basically the situation of Colossae. Okay? It's like a melting pot of the East and the West. You folks get a picture? Now, why am I sharing that? Why are we talking about that? Look at this one. Warren Wiersbe said about Colossae, all kinds of philosophies mingled in this cosmopolitan area. And religious hacksters abounded. When I say religious hacksters, we're talking about what? We're talking about people who would peddle their religion. Okay, believe this, and different kinds of people. It's bigger than Quiapo or something like that. People would just peddle everything. Not just that. There was a large Jewish colony. Because you have to understand, this is a Gentile city, but there was a large Jewish colony in Colossae. And there was also a constant influx of new ideas and doctrines from the East. Okay, not just that. To bring it further, here's what he said. He said, Colossae was a fertile ground for religious speculations and heresies. You folks catch that? Meaning to say, if you're someone who wants to start a quote-unquote religion, Colossae is the best place. If you want to start a lie, telling people that, you know what, I am the Messiah, Colossae is the best place. It's just a melting point of everything. Now, having said that, now I want us to talk about the church in Colossae. Now look, I think we are very clear here this afternoon that because this is a place where the East and the West meets, we know for a fact that this is a strategic place, amen? As much as Tagbilaran City is strategic, Colossae is also strategic. Okay, who among you knows that whenever there is a strategic city, we go there and plant a church. And that's the reason why there was a Christian church in Colossae. I don't know what the name of the church was, but there was a Christian church in the city of Colossae. Now, let's talk about the church in Colossae. Okay, first things first, I want us to understand this. The church in Colossae was not planted by Paul. Okay, are we clear on that one? It wasn't one of those churches that he went and pioneered and planted. Nope. Now, how in the world did the Colossian church grab Paul's attention? Look at this one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4, it says here, since we heard of your faith. What do we have here? Paul took notice of the Colossians. You know why? Because he keeps hearing about these guys. Someone would always come up to me, hey, there's this group of Christians in Colossae. They're so passionate. Praise and worship was really great. Preaching of the word was really great. They love each other. They share each other's belongings and stuff like that. You know, sometimes even if you don't quote-unquote advertise, if it is actually true in your life, people will begin to affirm that. Right, right. At the end of the day, our strongest preaching is the way and the manner we live our lives. The church in Colossae grabbed Paul's attention simply because they were like the quote-unquote talk of the town. People keep talking about the faith of the Colossian church. People wanted to go to Colossae and learn from the Colossian church. Now, how did the church in Colossae started? I want to show you a picture. This picture is the ruins and the rubbles of Ephesus. Now, of course, this is what you see right now. In its glory days, Ephesus wasn't like this. Ephesus was a bustling city, much more maybe like Dumaguete City. Okay, may Bolivar din siguro, may Why Not, may Bethel, siguro ganun yung konti tsura. But of course, because of everything that has happened, you know, it was torn down by a group of people, rebuilt again, torn down again, up until such, this is what we have of Ephesus. Now, Paul understands one thing. He understands that this city right here is very, very important. He understands that this city right here is very, very strategic. That's why this was one of the first few churches that they initiated. Okay? Now, how long did they do ministry in this city? 3 long years. How many here are, at least you're a 3-year-old Christian? Come on. Can I see your hand for a while? Okay, how many here are, you're a 2-year-old Christian? Now look at this one. Okay, for some of us here who's been a Christian for like, you know, since you were 7 or since you were 8, mahihiya tayo sa nangyari sa Ephesus. Look at this one. This really grabbed my attention. Here's what happened to them. After 3 years of ministry, can I ever say 3 years?
3 years.
After just 3 years of ministry in Ephesus, here's what happened. What was the result after the 3rd year? Acts chapter 19, verse 10. All the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Come on now. Who of you feels the challenge right here? I tell you what, it is our responsibility to preach the gospel. Don't you ever think that when I'm already knowledgeable with all of these things, whatever knowledge that you have right now are the things that you're going to preach to your friends. After just 3 years, look at this one. All the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. It says heard doesn't necessarily mean they believed. So meaning to say, it was just what? It was so contagious. One person was touched by the gospel, started preaching to his friend, started preaching to his family, until the entire Asia Minor basically heard the gospel. So meaning to say, they know the name Jesus Christ. It's just that maybe no one has yet fully preached it to them. Sino ba yung mga guys na yan? Grabe kong mag-fellowship. Ah, mga Christians yan. Ano yung Christian? What do they believe in? You folks catch that? It's something like that. You know what? It's like, if you're not a Christian, you're not in. All right? It's like Christianity is spreading like a wildfire. After 3 fruitful years, just 3 fruitful years in the city of Ephesus, let me just give a picture in this one, okay? Now look, if you remember, there was a time when Jesus went to the region of the Gerasenes. You guys remember that? The moment he went there, he was what? He was not really welcomed. Okay, he welcomed himself in the presence of what? A demon-possessed man. Bible says this guy is cutting himself, cutting loose all the shackles. Okay, and he was so strong, he was a demon-possessed man. What happened to him? Jesus went to him, and Jesus what? He casted the demons out of him, and he was well. When he realized that he was touched by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he ran towards Jesus, and what did he tell Jesus? He told Jesus, I want to go with you. What did Jesus tell him? Jesus told him, nope, you cannot go with us. Instead, go out there and start telling people what has happened to you. The Bible mentions that this demon-possessed man went to the Decapolis. Decapolis means Deca, 10. It's like a 10-city convergence one. It's like Metro Manila. So he went into the Decapolis and started telling about a man who healed him. He doesn't know the gospel yet in its all entirety, but he was just telling people, hey, there was a man who healed me. I was a demon-possessed man. Fast forward, if you look at the epistles of Paul and the book of Acts, you would come to understand that the moment that the disciples of Jesus Christ went to those places, people responded positively. Why? Because someone went ahead and started preaching to these people. And that is basically what was happening in the city of Ephesus. It just overflowed into the different regions, okay, surrounding it. And one of those cities, basically, Colossae for that matter. Now look at this one. I want us to understand another thing, that the church in Colossae, it wasn't started by Paul. So here's the question. Who started a church in Colossae? When Paul was doing ministry in the city of Ephesus, there were two guys who got birthed again in the Spirit. Their names were Epaphras and Philemon. Okay, I think you guys are familiar with these guys. Epaphras and Philemon, here's what happened. Epaphras, you know what, was touched by the ministry. His life was changed by the gospel. He cannot shut his mouth. That's what happened to people who become Christians, right? You cannot shut your mouth. You keep preaching. Come on now. You love to preach. Because why? You cannot contain what is in you. As a Christian, if you keep shutting up, that is not what you're supposed to be doing. Here's what happened to Epaphras. He cannot shut his mouth. What did he do? He went back to Colossae and started a victory group. That's what happened to him. That's how we started our ministry in Tagbilaran City, Bohol. That's why I asked Pastor JD to go to Tagbilaran, simply because there was a group of students who were reached out here, went back to their place and started a victory group. Victory was growing. We have no choice. We have to send a pastor. Some of you here might go to London in the future, to whatever place, just call us. We'll go wherever you are. Pagka New York yan, pupuntahan ka namin kahit mahirap pumunta sa New York. Epaphras started this ministry and guess what? It became a thriving church. It became a thriving church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 7 says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. So it gives us a picture that, you know, Epaphras was the one who started the ministry in Colossae. If I just pause here for a while, what is our lesson here? Here's what I want us to understand. Look at your seatmate for a while. Just look at your seatmate for a while. Diba? Wala nang mas guwapo at mas maganda pa dyan. Who says amen to that one? Come on. Ba talagang faith ng church na to? Now look at these two guys right here. First thing, look at this one. These guys are not apostles. They're not like quote-unquote insiders. No, they're not pastors. They're not the missionary kind of people. Who are they? They are ordinary people touched by the gospel and started preaching the gospel. Folks, if you're here this afternoon and you're telling me that you have been changed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation of that is when you start preaching the gospel. It will just overflow. Not unless you didn't really have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had an encounter with God and they started preaching the gospel in their places. Here's what I want us to understand. Having a background of the city of Colossae and the church in Colossae, here's the next question for us. Why in the world did Paul write a letter to the church in Colossae? Right? Why is it necessary for him to write a letter to the Colossae? Who may have read the entire New Testament already? Come on. If you look at the epistles of Paul, a lot of times whenever he starts writing into a certain church, he would write because he wants to address an issue. The reason why he's writing to the Colossian church at this time when he wrote this letter, the Colossian church was 5 years old. Okay? And on its fifth year, there were a lot of issues. As an apostle, that is his role, to clarify things, okay, for the church to be enlightened. So meaning to say, it's safe for us to say that the Colossian church had an issue. Can everybody say issue? Look at the person beside you for a while. That's the kind of person who has no issue. What was the issue of the Colossian church? Let me bring us back to the picture of the estuary. Okay? Ba-ba sa suba. Like what I told you a while ago, Colossae was unique in a sense that it was a converging point. So here's what happened to them. Epaphras went to them, preached the gospel to them, received, repented of their sins, and surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they are a thriving church. What happened was that maybe, just maybe, on the third year, fourth year, some people from the east would come in and would tell them some other things. All right? So that was what was happening to them. If you would want me to summarize the issue of the Colossian church, it could be summarized into this one. They were having a gospel plus, plus, plus. The reason why we're talking about all and nothing, because I want us to understand, Jesus said when he was on the cross, when he was about to die, he said, "It is finished." Meaning to say there's nothing else that you could add to his finished work. The problem was there was a group of people who would come into the church and would teach them that other than the gospel, you have to do this and you have to do that. I want you to understand this. Whenever you add something to that which is already finished, you just add insult to Jesus Christ. You're like telling Jesus, "Lord, what you did on the cross isn't enough." And Paul wants to sort out this issue for them. Their problem was they want to have the gospel plus Eastern philosophies. Right? It's something like this. You read God's word. Guess what? If you read God's word, you would know your what? You would know God's will for you. What they're doing was that they read God's word, plus they read the horoscope. Virgo, Libra, Leo. So they were like having the gospel, and they were bringing in something else. Haven't you thought of that? Whenever you read the horoscope, it will tell you, "Wag kang lumabas ng bahay, masasagasaan ka." What do you love meditating on God's word? Right, you meditate on God's word. It's just one verse. You meditate on it. Tapos iyak ka na ng iyak. Ba't ka umiyak? Kasi sabi, Jesus wept. You meditate on God's word. You chew on it. And you're like, "Man, this is really ministering to my life." What is happening with other Christians? You have the gospel. You put in some other things in your meditation. Nagme-meditate ka ng Book of Luke. Tapos nag-yoga ka. You know why we do that? Ignorance. You don't know that you are putting something else to that which is already finished. You do yoga as a Christian. What you don't know out of your ignorance is when you do yoga, you're basically doing the positions of Hindu gods and goddesses. Not just that, they were not just adding gospel and Eastern philosophies. They what? They had the gospel plus Jewish legalism. At first, they would say, "Repent of your sins and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're saved." Now, what were they teaching? "Repent of your sins, then have yourself circumcised." Jewish legalism. Paul was scratching his head because he learned that these people in Colossae, they were not just worshiping Jesus, they were also worshiping angels. They were doing all sorts of things because they started what? Opening themselves up to Eastern philosophies and Jewish legalism for that matter. If you want me to summarize, you know, just to explain this further, the issue here is called the Colossian heresy. Can everybody say that with me for a while? Heresy. Okay? The Colossian heresy is basically summarized in one word, and I want us to understand this. Don't you ever think that this is just a primitive word? This is actually present in our generation right now. The Colossian heresy is what we call syncretism. That is what we call syncretism. Okay, Steve Jobs, you know what sync is, right? Syncretism is coming from the word sync, which means to what? To sync. If I may submit an image as to what syncretism means, it is this image right here. You put the pineapple, you put the potato, you put everything, you put the garlic, you put the onion, you put the black pepper, you put the chili, put it together, then blend it. That's syncretism. I mean, if in our generation right now, that might be healthy for your body, but spiritually, that kind of syncretism won't do you any good. What is syncretism? Let me just explain this for a while. Syncretism is what? Blending. Can I ever say blending? Blending together different system of beliefs. What's wrong, Archie, with blending everything together? There's something so wrong about it. Allow me to explain how syncretism looks like. Look at this one. When the Spaniards came to the Philippines in the 1500s, the moment they arrived on our shore, they realized that Filipinos are what? We are animistic in our culture. Meaning to say, we would worship a trunk of a banana, we would worship a stone or whatever. That was our culture. Now, the good thing was, they have something with them. And what is that they're bringing with them? They have with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought it with them. The problem was, they were not able to really preach the gospel. That's why what they did was that they took that which belongs to the Filipinos and exchanged it with something else. They exchanged pagan culture by putting up a church without people really understanding what the gospel really means. So what happened was that in our generation right now, we are like a group of people who are pagan in culture and Christian in culture merged together. That is basically what syncretism is. Now, don't you ever tell me that this is just some ancient or primitive ways of people to do this. Guess what? This is present in our generation. And that's why I tell you what, we have to preach about this. I want to show you some of these religious symbols right here. Now, just ponder on all of those things for a while. Look at all of those things for a while. Here's what I want us to understand. Everybody, look up here for a while. Look at this one. None of this is equal to this one. None of those things, none of those pathways is similar to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I want us to understand that there are no such things as many paths to one God and one God of many names. Archie, what's wrong with that one? I take this pathway. I take this faith pathway. It will just lead that to the same God. And it will not lead us to the same God. Because the book of John says, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. You don't add anything to that which is already done. That is the message of Christianity. There's no such thing as God of many names. The only many names of God are His attributes. He is the Creator. He is this one and that one. Other than that, nothing else. No one can come up to me and tell me, my God who is Muhammad is the same as your God. I don't think so, friend. Are you folks catching this? What is our basis for this one? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says here, salvation, salva, being saved, is found on no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Right. At the end of the day, if you're not found in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. It's actually as simple as that. I don't incorporate anything to my faith because number one, I am not the initiator of my faith. Jesus is. All of us have played this game at a certain point in our life. We understand one rule. There is only one entrance and one exit. That's it. Kahit na burahin mo yung mga ibang sites dyan and make some exits, what will you understand? There might be many exits, but not all exits will lead to God. Not all exits will lead to salvation. If you want to be saved, it's as clear as giving our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. How serious is this one? Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 to 19. Look at this, what it says here. Jesus himself said, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, there you go. I want you to understand this. Just because a certain group has the name of Jesus in their logo, that doesn't mean that they're already Christians. Sometimes we have a wrong notion of a cult. Akala natin yung cult, yung mga kumakain ng tao. Okay, iba naman sa atin, akala natin yung cult, yung mga horse. That's a different kind of cult. Whenever you say Christian cult, you're basically talking about a group of people who was added or subtracted from God's word. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Not just that, it says here, and if anyone takes away, if anyone subtracts from the words of the book of this prophecy, look at this one, God will take away his share in the tree of life. Folks, look up here for a while. When everything is said and done, we cannot come before God and tell God, Lord, I didn't know. Especially for all of us here this evening. You're going to come before God and tell God, Lord, I didn't know. Because it has been laid bare since the creation of the world. It says here, if anyone subtracts from this book, God will take away share in the tree of life. Meron pala tayong share, stockholder pala tayong tree of life. Yung mga mahilig sa investment dyan. Where does the tree of life first appear in the Bible? The book of Genesis. There were two trees mentioned in the book of Genesis, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. What happened? There were what? Someone guarding the tree of life. You cannot basically approach the tree of life. There is one instance wherein people of the world will be reunited with the tree of life, and that is when you become a Christian and you get to heaven one of these days. Because the tree of life basically symbolizes our eternal life in the presence of God. Nobody can tell me that God isn't fair. God is actually unfair for him to do all of these things, allowing us to preach the gospel to everyone, that everyone may repent and believe. We all have the opportunity every single day to repent of our sins and give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why at the end of the day, we have no excuse. The central message that I have here is this one. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient. Here's my question for everyone. What is the gospel? Archie, gospel is love wins. You know who started love wins? It was Pastor Rob Bell. He used to be an evangelical pastor. He went with Oprah, started writing a book and telling people, hey, you know what? I don't think people are going to hell because love wins. Everyone is going to heaven. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Right, right. If you're ignorant, then you will start believing other ideologies. That's why as a Christian, do not rely on the preaching of the word every single Sunday. This is just a tidbit, a fragment of what you need to learn. You need to get yourself in God's word so that you can correctly handle the word of truth. The Bible even tells us to be prepared with an answer to those who are asking. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that God became man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died in our place. After 3 days, He rose again from the grave, proving that He is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and the forgiveness of sins to those who repent and believe. That is the gospel. I want you to understand this. A lot of times, it's actually the Christians who needs to be convinced with the gospel. The reason why we don't preach the gospel is because there's an aspect of the gospel that we do not believe. And tell you what, unbelief, the last time I checked, is a sin. The gospel has been entrusted to us, and that's why we have to preach the gospel. I want us to understand this, especially for all of us who live in this generation. There's just so many things that are happening around us. In the United States, my father-in-law would tell me, you're not allowed to put Christmas lights in public places. You're not allowed to say prayer in the campuses. Oh, that's just in the United States. Guess what? It is an impending storm that's about to come in the Philippines. When that happens, I want you to understand this. We will not water down the gospel to accommodate cultural expectations. I will not make God bend for His people. God shapes us. We don't shape God. Preach the gospel in all its entirety. We will not cut out articles of faith or add erroneous ones in accord with the fashion of the age. I want to end this by looking at the prayer of Paul. The good thing with Paul is this one. When he learned that the Colossian church was in trouble, experiencing all of this heresy, what he did was that before he dealt with them, he started praying for them first. So at the end of the day, the battle will be won on our knees. Amen? Right. You want a harvest in your campuses? You want a harvest in the workplace? It starts when we go to our knees. What were the prayers of Paul? Look at this one. In verse 9, here's his prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says here, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There's an issue. What was his prayer? His prayer was not like, Lord, I pray for protection for these guys. Nope. That wasn't his prayer. Lord, I pray, Lord, for safety from persecution. Nope. That was not his prayer. His prayer was what? His prayer was that they will have knowledge and wisdom. You know why? Because the Bible says you have to have the knowledge of His will. Why? Because if you are so certain of God's will for you, you're not going to stray to the left or to the right. You're going to pursue His will for the rest of your life. The reason why Christians backslide, Christians wander away from the faith, do this and do that, is because they're uncertain of what God wants them to do. You don't know God's will for you. Here's the prayer of Paul, that we will be filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled here is coming from the Greek word plero, which means filling out to completeness. They use this when someone would go on a voyage. Okay, just like this boat right here. Meaning to say, whenever someone would say it's plero, meaning to say the boat is ready to go. So what Paul was like saying, I pray that you will be filled. Meaning saying, you're filled, you're ready to take the voyage of life. Not just that, he said that you will have the knowledge. Come here, can Alice say that knowledge is important? Come on. Come here, you are seated right next to a very knowledgeable person. Yung tipong know-it-all. Grabe, ang galing niya. Ginugel lang yan. Knowledge is important, friends. You know what? Let me tell you something. If you're here, you want to be bright, you want to be brilliant, go to God's Word. Study God's Word. I tell you what, Nag-English-English lang naman ako nung naging Christian ako eh. Ay, paslang-slang pa, patuwang. Hindi ko nga maintindihan to victory, pati English-English mga tao dito. Di ba? Bisdak man tanap, English-English pa. Truth of the matter is, you will have an increase in wisdom once you get into God's Word. You will go from glory to glory. It doesn't just talk about your physical attributes. The truth is, you will become more beautiful and more handsome the moment you become a Christian. Because it's a reflection of God's presence in your life. Compare your pictures from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, look at your pictures. Now, man! You check your pictures now, you'll tell God something. God's not dead. We need knowledge. But guess what? We don't just use knowledge to give out persuasive arguments. We don't just have knowledge for us to argue with other people. Guess what? At the end of the day, nobody wins in a debate. Everyone walks away with hatred in their hearts. The knowledge here talks about the knowledge of His will for you, that you may pursue Him for the rest of your life. The knowledge of what Christ has done for you. The knowledge of who Jesus is. That as you walk with Him day by day, you love Him more and more and more each day. Verse 10 says here, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Everyone say, worthy of the gospel. Now look at your life right now. Am I living a life that's worthy of the gospel? If I remain silent, will my life preach a message of salvation? The word worthy here is from the Greek word axios, which means of equal weight. It's balanced, just like this balance right here. So it's something like this. Your preaching, your life are balanced. As much as you talk the walk, you also walk the talk. People look at you and they're like, ay, Christian ka pala. Ilang years ka na Christian? 6 years. Ay, bro, sorry, hindi obvious. Bakit hindi obvious? Some of us, ang galing natin mag-preach. Preach tayo ng preach, tapos after natin mag-preaching, tayong late nagising kasi tayong nalasing. Ah, alam mo, pre, si Jesus Christ will save you. Are we living a life that represents the Lord Jesus Christ in the most honorable way? That is our responsibility as Christians. I tell you what, wherever you go, you bring God's presence with you. It's either you are a stumbling block or you spur people into the faith. It's okay, Archie. We're not sinning naman. Hindi naman kami nagsisin. Ang question ko, wise ba yan? Is that inching people to the gospel or you're pulling people from the gospel? Sometimes it's not a question of whether this is right or wrong, but it's a question of whether what you're doing is wise or unwise. I want to end with this one. Verse 11 says, look at this. May you be strengthened with all power, the dunamis power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience. Who am I here can honestly say that as a Christian, you need endurance and patience? Why do you need endurance? Come on now. Why do you need endurance? You need endurance. Why? When the going gets tough, I will still praise God. In plenty or in luck, I'm gonna praise God. I'm not gonna quit on God. I'm not gonna walk away from the church. That is endurance. Hindi ka napansin ni Pastor, ayoko na sa church na yan. Nakorek ka lang ng leader mo, ayoko na sa church na yan. Sino ba Lord mo? Yung leader mo or si Jesus Christ? Pag may pera, masaya. Pag walang pera, nakasimangot. So sino God mo? Si God o pera? At the end of the day, we need endurance. Not just that, the Bible says patience. Can everyone say patience? Not just patience, it says patience with joy. While you are waiting for your breakthroughs, you are patient, but you are joyful. Why? Because your security and your significance, your happiness and your joy does not rely on your prayer request, but on the presence of God in your lives. Every single week, we have like this thick of a prayer request from everyone from the envelopes. We pray for those. We pray for every single one of you. My favorite prayer requests are from the kids' church. I have one kid who would pray every single week. Sabi niya, "Dear Lord, I pray that I will discover the bones of the dinosaurs." And I'm like, "Lord, how will we explain that to him?" Some of you are praying for your future home, for financial breakthrough. Some of you are praying for a future partner. You're praying for a godly husband, godly wife. Patience means you don't resort to that which is not God's will for you. Patience with joy means that even in the season of waiting, I can praise and worship God. That I will give God thanks in all circumstances.